Euthyphro. Persons of the dialogue: Socrates and Euthyphro. Scene: the porch of the king Archon. Euthyphro: Why have you left the Lyceum, Socrates? And what are you doing in the porch of the king Archon? Surely you cannot be engaged in an action before the king as I am. Socrates: Not an action, Euthyphro. Impeachment is the word which the Athenians use. Euthyphro: What? I suppose that someone has been prosecuting you, for I cannot believe that you are the prosecutor of another. Socrates: Certainly not. Euthyphro: Then someone else has been prosecuting you? Socrates: Yes. Euthyphro: And who is he? Socrates: A young man who is little known, Euthyphro, and I hardly know him. His name is Meletus, and he is of the deme of Pythus. Perhaps you may remember his appearance. He has a beak and long straight hair and a beard which is ill-grown. Euthyphro: No, I do not remember him, Socrates. And what is the charge which he brings against you? Socrates: What is the charge? Well, a very serious charge, which shows a good deal of character in the young man, and for which he is certainly not to be despised. He says he knows how the youth are corrupted, and who are their corruptors. I fancy that he must be a wise man, and seeing that I am anything but a wise man, he has found me out, and is going to accuse me of corrupting his young friends. And of this our mother the state is to be the judge. Of all our political men, he is the only one who seems to me to begin in the right way, with the cultivation of virtue in youth. He is a good husbandman, and takes care of the shoots first, and clears away us who are the destroyers of them. That is the first step. He will afterwards attend to the elder branches, and if he goes on as he has begun, he will be a very great public benefactor. Euthyphro: I hope that he may, but I rather fear, Socrates, that the reverse will turn out to be the truth. My opinion is that in attacking you he is simply aiming a blow at the state in a sacred place. But in what way does he say that you corrupt the young? Socrates: He brings a wonderful accusation against me which at first hearing excites surprise. He says that I am a poet or maker of gods, and that I make new gods and deny the existence of old ones. This is the ground of his indictment. Euthyphro: I understand, Socrates. He means to attack you about the familiar sign which occasionally, as you say, comes to you. He thinks that you are a neologian, and he is going to have you up before the court for this. He knows that such a charge is readily received, for the world is always jealous of novelties in religion. And I know that when I myself speak in the assembly about divine things and foretell the future to them, they laugh at me as a madman, and yet every word that I say is true. But they are jealous of all of us. I suppose that we must be brave and not mind them. Socrates: Their laughter, friend Euthyphro, is not a matter of much consequence, for a man may be thought wise. But the Athenians, I suspect, do not care much about this until he begins to make other men wise, and then for some reason or other, perhaps as you say, from jealousy, they are angry. Euthyphro: I have no desire to try conclusions with them about this. Socrates: I dare say that you don't make yourself common, and are not apt to impart your wisdom. But I have a benevolent habit of pouring out myself to everybody, and would even pay for a listener, and I am afraid that the Athenians know this. And therefore, as I was saying, if the Athenians would only laugh at me as you say that they laugh at you, the time might pass gaily enough in the court. But perhaps they may be in earnest, and then what the end will be your soothsayers only can predict. Euthyphro: I dare say that the affair will end in nothing, Socrates, and that you will win your cause, and I think that I shall win mine. Socrates: And what is your suit? And are you the pursuer or defendant, Euthyphro? Euthyphro: I am pursuer. Socrates: Of whom? Euthyphro: